are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
We want to welcome our television audience. Thank you for being with us here in Bloemfontein. We are grateful for the privilege to bring God's word to you every week, right where you are, throughout Africa, Europe, and the beautiful United States of America. We know that God loves you, and we trust today that the Holy Spirit will come through that screen and touch you, and that your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Come on, let's welcome our television audience all over. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the person next to you again and tell that person, God loves you. I know we hear this. We think people know this. This week, as I was traveling back from Pretoria late at night Thursday after a day of meetings, I stopped at one of the petrol garages, and as I always do, I bought a coffee to stay awake until I came to Bloemfontein. It was like about 11 o'clock at night, and there was a bus that had just stopped there, and as I was ordering my coffee with an extra shot of caffeine, there was this beautiful young girl standing next to me looking through the menu. And I saw that she wanted to eat, but she didn't really have a lot of money. So I said to her, whatever you want on that menu, I'll buy for you. Well, she looked at me like this. It's like, okay, what's the catch? So as she actually said that to me, she said, what's the catch? I said, there's no catch. She said, are you my blesser for the next 5 minutes? And then the lady that stood serving me, she knows me by now because I always give her a huge tip. All the petrol attendants know me. When they see my car every second week or every week, they all come running because they know the blesser is showing up, okay? Hallelujah. Maybe not the blesser the way you think, but the blesser that he... And so this lady tells this young girl, she says, he's a Maruti, he's a pastor. I mean, if she could blush, she would blush. She said, but then you are a blesser. I said, you're right, I'm a blesser. I want to bless you with the love of God. I want to tell you that you are valuable, that you are precious, that God's got a great future for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that God loves you. God wants to bless you. God loves you with a perfect love. Greatest revelation you can have is a revelation of God's love for you. We will never love our world if we don't first experience the love that God has for us. We will not love God until we experience the love that God has for us. So we will never love upward, inward, outward, until we become secure in the love that God has for us. So we want to talk about that. Maybe very basic. Maybe when your mother tucked you away at night in bed, she sang to you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We hear about the love of God, but do we really understand the amazing love that God has for us? So let's read together again in 1 John chapter 4. I think you'll agree with me this morning that our world needs a love revolution. There's a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of talk of bad things in our country right now. And the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When hell shows up, we focus on heaven. And what is heaven's climate? Heaven's climate is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. If you white and the person is white. Sorry. If you're a Jew and the person is a Jew. Right? Is it there? Oh no, don't switch off on me because I can also switch off. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is what?
Love.
Say it again. God is what?
Love.
Say it again. God is?
Love.
Not vengeance. God is love, not judgment. God doesn't have love. God is love. Every time you encounter God, you will encounter love. Love. Not the love that you have for your dog, but a love that is perfect. The Bible says in this, The love of God has been manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. South Africa, say amen. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. God is what? We have known and believed in what? The love that God has for us. We have known and believed in the love that God has for us. God is love. Not conditional, agape, unconditional. Amen. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So if I act in love, I'm acting in God. If I act outside of love, I act outside of God. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we, not one day when we get to heaven, but right now in this world, righteous. There is no fear in love. Fear is the opposite of love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. We all know when fear comes, worry comes. When fear comes, we are tormented with anxiety. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. My message today is that God loves you with a perfect love. I hear people sometimes say, well, Pastor, I found God in 1985 or in 1994. The truth is, you never found God, because God wasn't lost. God found you. You were the one that was lost. You were the one that was loved by God when you least deserved it. When you were the furthest away from God, when you were the deepest in your sin, God made up His mind to love you with a perfect love. In 1 John 4 verse 10, the Bible says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. God sent His Son into the world to reconcile the world back unto Him. When God created Adam and Eve, it was for fellowship. And we know how sin messed up this whole deal. And from that day, it was like people are afraid of God. When God shows up, people run in the opposite direction. Even when Jesus walked this earth, whenever Jesus came, people feared. Because that's the heart condition of man. Not to be drawn to God, but to run away from God. That's what sin came to do. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what sin you did, the sin of Adam caused all of us to die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So what did this sin do? This sin caused us to live with a heart that is not set right toward God. A heart that is afraid of God. A heart that is fearful of God. I grew up definitely not with a picture of God as an approachable, loving God. But really, I saw God as an angry God, a judgmental God. I heard preachers all the time talk about the love of God and the judgment of God. You can't just preach one side of the coin. Well, we just read what the Bible says, that there is one side to God, and that is God is love. In James 1 verse 17, the Bible says, there's no shadow of turning with God. God doesn't have bad days like your earthly father. God doesn't have bad surprises like your earthly father. God is a good God, and God loves you with a perfect love. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. His love is the greatest power in the universe. While we were sinners, God demonstrated His love for us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, it is a love that can transform any human heart. The greatest hater. What we need in South Africa, those people, you know, I don't judge people that say crazy things on Twitter or Facebook. I pray for them. But I'm not going to be one of those emotional tweeters that say things I cannot retract. Because your words carry power and weight. God's love is the only power that can replace hate with love, that can replace guilt and condemnation with peace, that can eradicate fear from our hearts. The Amplified Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves, listen, the expectation of divine punishment. We all grew up feeling that somehow, somewhere, we're going to be punished. Many people, when they go through sickness, disease, trials, and tribulations, actually believe that God is punishing them. You hear when bad things happen in our world, how people say it's an act of God. It's the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God. I've been at enough people that face death, even people close to me. One brother that sends a wrong SMS or a wrong message telling that person, well, there's a door that you open. Well, now, what door didn't you open? You opened your toilet door this morning. You opened your car door this morning. Usher opened this church's door. So you also opened a door. You thought about something. You said something. You did something that could have opened a door in your life, right? I mean, if this salvation is so fragile that if we just step one little inch in the wrong direction, that we're going to get smacked. It's not a great salvation. If we're not sure about who this God is, and we know God's in our midst, Emmanuel, by the Holy Ghost, Jesus. If we sit there and we are still afraid of God, the Bible says we've not been perfected in love. We don't have an understanding of God's love for us. Our hearts are not set at rest, at ease with God. We still have that nagging sensation that something is not right between us and God. And here's the deal. You can crawl on your hands and knees. You can take a stick and beat yourself over the head. You are not going to get more righteous before God. God loves you. Because that's who God is. God loves you with a perfect love. God loves you in spite of you. God loves you while you were a sinner. God loves you because He cannot deny Himself. So it really doesn't matter what you do. It matters what He did. Somebody is quick to say, but Pastor, you better watch out. You are giving people a license to sin by saying that. People sinned long before I said that. Amen. I mean, even when the law came and the law said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, we sinned. I mean, I read the law and heard the law every Sunday that said, thou shalt not steal. I was a little thief. Don't look at me with your angel face this morning. You were a thief as well. I stole my mother's money. I put it in a sock. I don't even know why I did it. Because that was my nature. In church, a thief. My brother and I would come back from swimming and we would steal. Go into the shop with our... Well, I'm not bragging about it, but going into the shop, we didn't even want what we... We just stole. Why? Because that's who we were. Every Sunday, I would hear, thou shalt not. The law could not change us. The law could not win us over. The law can modify behavior, but it cannot change behavior. So God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, what the law could not do, God did by sending His Son. So Jesus came 2,000 years ago, listen to me, and He faced the judgment of God. God demonstrated His love, the Bible says, while we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says, perhaps for a good man, one will even dare to lie. So a husband will take a bullet for his wife. A father will take a bullet for his child or his best friend in a war. But the Bible says for an evil person, for an enemy, who's going to climb out of the trench and run and take a bullet for the enemy that wants to kill you? No one. But that's what Jesus did. He took a bullet for you and me. He took your sin when He was righteous and just. He took your sin upon Him. He faced the wrath and the anger of God. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved you and me that He gave Jesus to stand between the living and the dead and to face God's judgment. When we hear this, that God loves us in spite of us, that God loves us no matter what we do, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, it's like we think, well, what's the catch? Because we grew up in an imperfect world. Our parents were imperfect. Our environment was imperfect. Our culture was imperfect. We are so used to be loved up to a point. If we do this, we will be loved more. Young girls that get into relationships, if you love me, you will. Well, if you loved me, you would not ask me, would you? If you loved me, And then God comes and he says, I love you. You say, okay, God, what do you want from me? Nothing. I love you. I love you as you are. I love you for who you are. Because God understands it's his love that wins you over. You didn't wake up one day and decide, I'm going to love God. I'm going to be a good Christian. That would be like Cain. That would be works of religion. And that's what we have in this world. No. It's when you yield to the love of God that sin loses its hold in your life. It's when you yield to the love of God that your heart changes. Everything about you changes when you encounter the love that God has for you. I mean, why are you married to that girl that you are sitting next to? Huh? Why are you getting married to her? I asked somebody the other day, and he couldn't give me the right answer. I'll give you the right answer. He said, Pastor, I like her legs. I said, no. That... Amen. Help him, Jesus. I like her legs, but I love her. Okay, so why do you love her? You love her because she's won your heart. She's the one girl out of maybe one other girl that wanted to marry you. In some of our cases, it was a whole line. Amen. Okay, man. That one girl touched you a special way. That one guy touched you a special way. Why don't we sin? Why don't we sell out to this world? Why do we witness? Because he loves us. He loves us. His love touches us. His love gives us a purpose to live. His love gives us a reason to live. Come on. His love tells us that the journey is over. The looking is over. We have found the pearl of great price. Come on. That's what the salvation is all about. It's not a religion. It's not a doctrine. He loves us. And therefore we can love him back. What the law could not do, God did by sending his son to win people back. Those who were enemies in their minds. That's why the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. God demonstrated his love. When we're the furthest away from God, he loved us. Did you deserve it? No. Could you earn it? No. Do you deserve it now? No. Can you ever work for it? No. You can crawl to church every Sunday on your hands and knees. It will not make God love you more. He loves you because of the sacrifice of his son. He's accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. And therefore today you do not have to live in fear of God's judgment. You don't have to live afraid. You don't have to get up afraid. You can get up. That is if you have given your life to Jesus knowing that I am forgiven. I have peace with God. What did Jesus come to bring when he came to the earth? Old Testament, God was this distant God out there. When God spoke, the mountain shook. Jesus comes in the New Testament and he demonstrates God as a what? As a father, a good father. Even at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, when the angels and the glory of God appeared, the people were afraid again. The natural reaction of a heart that is not set right before God is a heart of fear. And the angels were afraid, and the shepherds were afraid. And the angels said, peace on earth, and goodwill, do not be afraid. I bring good news of glad tidings. That to you this day a Savior is born. That Savior is the propitiation. That Savior is the mediator. That Savior is the way back to God. That Savior is the one that comes to bring peace between God and man. That's what Jesus came to do two things. Number one, to give us a new image of God. I told you last week that the most important image you can have is the image of God. If I say God, what do you think? If I say Father God, how do you see this God? The way you see God will determine how you see people. The way you see God will determine how you see yourself. If you see God as harsh and judgmental, you'll be hard on yourself. You'll be hard on people. You will be one of those pointing, critical Christians. So we want to get the pointing of the finger away. That means we need to get you established in the love of God. Because you will love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you see what Jesus did for you, how can you point the finger at somebody else? When you walk in the forgiveness of God and you see a brother sinning, you will not judge the brother. You will pray for mercy. You will pray forgiveness in the name of Jesus because you understand. But for the grace of God, there go I. I am what I am by the grace of God. Come on, somebody saved this morning. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. So he came to reveal God as a father. Not this distant God, but a Father who is approachable. A Father who is loving. A Father who is forgiving. A Father who is merciful. When that rich young ruler called him good, in Mark chapter 10 verse 18, he said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." In Matthew 7:11, he says, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him?" Acts 10:38, the Bible says, "Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil." In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible calls Jesus, verse 3, the express image of the Father. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. While He walked this earth, He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." He said, "If you don't believe me, believe the works." What were the works? The works were good works. The works were works of mercy. The works were works of restoration. The works were works of love. The works were works of God will give you another chance. The works were works of God's acceptance. Oh, come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus. When Moses said in the old covenant, "God, show me your glory," in Exodus chapter 33, 34, God said, "I will make my goodness pass before you." God is good. God is a good God. He's not the one causing you to walk through the valley. He's the one walking with you through the valley. He's the one that's preparing a table for you in the presence of the enemy. Oh, come on. He's the one that's going to anoint your head with fresh oil. Hallelujah. He's the one that will brighten up your day. He's the one that will turn things around in South Africa. He's the way maker. Come on. He's the miracle worker. Come on. He's a God who will never give up on you. He's a God who says nothing can separate you from the love that I have for you. You are never beyond my reach in the name of Jesus. Don't doubt my love. Because that doubt will cause your heart to become unsettled. So when you pray, you can't pray with confidence. You can't pray with boldness. The Bible says, Hebrews 4 verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Romans chapter 8, "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah! No baby that comes out of his parent's womb is afraid of the parent. Fear is a behavior that's taught. My kids grew up not afraid of me. My kids grew up knowing that I'm a righteous father, that you can talk to me about anything. So they never started crawling when they came to me. I mean, I would be, you know, Narette and I would be in bedroom planning our finances, amen. They don't care. They bash the door down. They walk in. You have to put 3 gates in the passage. Because they are bold. Father, dad, daddy, dad, it's me. Not dad, it's me. Dad, it's me. Father, our Father, Father God, Dad, Abba Father. When that little baby comes out, my kids, all of them, the first thing they said was Dada. They never said mama. I taught them from the day they were born. Da. Every father do it. It's a good thing. Da. Of course, I know they have to do that with God the Father. Okay. So it was, all of them said, I mean, David came in and said, "Hello, Pa." You're in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. So how do you think God will not love you today? Why do you think God's mad with you? Why do you think God's angry with you? Why is your heart not settled in the presence of God? Guilt? Fear? Because it's a heart that's not established. And it's a heart that has to be established. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "I pray that you may comprehend, that you may understand the love of God, the width, the length, the height, the breadth. That you may be rooted and grounded in the love of God." Because when you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, it really doesn't matter what storms come. You're rooted, you're grounded. You don't doubt the love. You don't doubt the will of God. You don't doubt God's favor. No matter how the storms of life come, you are rooted and grounded in the love that God has for you. I want to shout it out today that God loves you and there is nothing that's going to change it. I want to shout it out today. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I want to shout it out today. You are not beyond the reach of God. In the name of Jesus, all you have to do is draw closer to Him. Draw closer to Him. When hell breaks loose in your life, don't question why there's hell in your life. Draw closer to your Father. Lift your hands and say, Abba, Father, I worship You. I know this evil doesn't come from You. I know, God, that You will sustain me. I know, God, You will walk me through this valley. I know, God, You will prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with fresh oil. You are a good God. You are a merciful God. Throughout the Bible, every time people worshiped Him, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, the glory of God showed up. You have to go stand in your hell pit and you have to worship God. For God, You are good and Your mercy endures forever. God, You are good and Your mercy endures forever. And you will see the environment will change. And things will begin to change, because for something to come down, something has to go up. We want rain to come down, but we all know rain is formed on the earth. It starts on the earth through the process of evaporation. There has to be prayers. There has to be praises. There has to be worship. There has to be adoration. There has to be sacrifice. There has to be giving. There has to be people whose hearts are set upon God so that heaven can come down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe as we gather together, don't miss Pretoria, Johannesburg, churches close by, Loftus for Jesus on Sunday. I believe as we gather together, black and white, and we worship God, that something is going to happen in the realm of the Spirit. Come on, we are going to have a moment of heaven. We are going to see the rain of God come down. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that prodigal son came home, the father wasn't waiting for him with a stick. He came home a slave, but the father was there and received him as a son. As a matter of fact, the father ran to him. Didn't wait for his boy to crawl to him and get his act together. The boy was still saying, Father, I'll get my act together. The father didn't even listen. You can't get your act together. You know, when love goes out of a marriage, that marriage is in trouble. When the revelation that Christianity has founded in, the revelation of God's love for me, goes out the window, it becomes a religion. Because then, okay, God, I know You want me to tithe, so I'll tithe. I'll do my bit. Really? But when you walk in the revelation of it all comes from God, and you remember what Jesus did for you. That's why He said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to your name, that you're building a big business, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't forget what it's all about. I loved you when you least deserved it. I loved you. I won you over. Don't forget what this is all about. So that when I bless your business, don't forget what it's about. Honor me because you love me. Serve me because you love me. Tell your world about me because you can't not tell your world about me. It's not a religion. It's a relationship fueled and motivated by love. Because when you encounter that love, sin loses its attraction. That young boy doesn't have a snowball's hope in hell anymore to get his way with you. Because it loses its attraction. So when you walk in God's love and grace, sin loses its power. When you truly encounter the love that God has for you, and you truly become secure in the love that God has for you, you will love people differently. Because you cannot love beyond loving yourself. If you're hard on yourself, you'll be hard on people. If you're critical on yourself, you'll be critical on people. That's why Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Here's the deal. We can't love ourselves. We can't love God by ourselves. Most of the time, we can't even stand some people, right? But when the love of God touches us, that love that the Bible talks about, Romans 5, verse 5, shed abroad in our hearts, because we encounter and experience this love that God has for us, every shackle is broken. Every pain is healed. Even every broken area is restored. That's what He does. He came to heal broken hearts, to set captives free. That is not in a man waving his hand over you. It's in a living, abiding relationship with Jesus where you encounter and understand the love that God has for you. John says, the apostle, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. There'll be many voices that will try and sway you out of God's love for you. Many words spoken that will try and sway you out of the love that God has for you. We have known and believed. 1 John chapter 3 says, we will assure our hearts before Him. That means we will set our hearts at rest that we have peace with God. When Paul writes and he says we have peace with God, he talks about peace. This guilt, condemnation is gone. I have peace with God. Whether I pray 10 hours or no hour. Dad, I don't have to crawl. You know, when I started out in this charismatic journey, we were taught that circle of prayer, an hour, watch and pray for an hour. Remember that legalism? Thank God we're out of that nonsense, okay? And the first 5 minutes, it taught you how to spend time with God. Then the first 5 minutes, you do what? You worship. No, the first 5 minutes, yes, you worship. And then it's like switching on a battery, bidi, 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 battery, and you go, hallelujah, praise you, Lord, bless you, Lord, hallelujah. 5 minutes gone, and then it's like, okay, now I have to confess my sin. Second 5 minutes was sin consciousness. And I remember I was praying before God one day, according to that wheel, because I respected the people who taught me, even though it was nonsense. I said, Lord, forgive me. And I couldn't think what I had to ask God to forgive me of. Now, I'm not perfect. But I really had to say, what did I do wrong? Because I was really good from yesterday till today. You know, I think it's like the Holy Spirit said, don't come before God with sin consciousness. Come as a son. We read it today. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Come on. How is Jesus? He is righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it made Him when you know sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So, you can wake up in the morning and say, Father. You can drive your car. You can stand in the shower. He's with you 24/7. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. I pray that God gives you a revelation about the love that God has for you. I pray that you become settled in the love that God has for you. Oh, come on, that you become secure in the love that God has for you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Pretoria, Johannesburg, East Rand, God loves you. God loves you with a perfect love.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Today, I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord and Savior. Please wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be your child. I'm back, Lord. I surrender myself to you. And I accept you as my Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.